Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Lieutenant General Roger Brady, Air Force Deputy Chief of Staff, Manpower and Personnel. Also joining us in our conversation is Bob Bleibmeister, partner in IBM's Human Capital Practice. General, many pressing issues have required the United States Armed Forces to reassess and transform the way they operate to properly meet future challenges. Could you give us an overview of the Air Force's transformation strategy?
Sure. I'd love to. But let me first spend just a moment telling you the environment that we're in that makes this transformation critical. We find ourselves in a situation, as you can well appreciate, fighting the global war on terrorism, which we refer to as the long war. It's going to go on certainly for the rest of our careers, if not the rest of our lives, we anticipate. So we have to win that war. We also have to be prepared for the next war, whatever that is. And so we find ourselves with very high tempo, operations tempo. We find ourselves with operating costs that are very high, and there's not much flex there because the tempo is so high. And we find ourselves flying very old equipment, the oldest equipment we've ever flown, the most effective equipment in the world, but old. 23 years old on average will be over 30 years old, even if we get everything we're trying to buy in the next few years. So we're way behind in investment strategy. And people, as any business will tell you, the cost is going out of sight, particularly healthcare. So where is our flex? We need to look at our portfolio of human capital and see what we can do there to be more effective, because we can't affect operating tempo. We have to win. And if we don't want to fly 75-year-old airplanes, we've got to find a capability to recapitalize ourselves. And so our flex is in people. And we also have to get people are our most important asset. And when I say that, you would ask, well, then why are you getting rid of them? I'd say because they are very valuable. At the same time, they are very expensive. And the people we have to be the most flexible, the most educated, the most appropriately trained. And we have to maintain the capability to sustain the benefits that our people have had over the years and have come to expect and deserve, including health care, et cetera. So we cannot afford to have too many people. We got to have the right number. And so that brings us to the transformation that led to a reduction of some 40,000 full-time equivalents in our people over the next few years, which gets me to your question of strategy. What's the strategy for doing that? Well, again, war fighting is job one. If you do nothing else, you've got to win the war. You can't be second place in our business. So we focused on war fighting skills and those capabilities that deploy forward. We then worked ourselves back from the deployed locations and said, okay, what does it take to sustain the institution? And as you go further back, what does it take to sustain garrison locations and look at how efficient we are there? We do not want to take risk forward. We will manage risk in the rear, in CONUS, and which drives us to seeing how efficient we can be in our organization and our processes and the use of our very precious human capital resource to affect the future and to be as good and better than we've been in the past.
General, you alluded to these reductions in manpower, and I believe you alluded to the program name, AFSO 21, which stands for the Air Force Smart Operations 21. Mm-hmm. With all of these reductions and this change, what do you expect the impact to be on the Corps airmen and women, especially those that remain?
Well, I think that we're going to have, as I said, we're going to have to use our people more efficiently, more effectively. Now, if we don't change the way we do things, I mean, we can't just expect people to run faster. So we have to help our people learn to work smarter. And that's what AFSO 21 is about. Air Force Smart Operations 21 is a combination of all those great management process improvement efforts that have been successful in industry and within the Air Force, such as lean initiatives and things of that nature, so that we can use the people that we have more effectively, help them work smarter, not harder, to get the job done. And in many ways, we will broaden the capabilities of our people. We want to enhance their educations in every way that's appropriate. And I think we will make many of the jobs that our people have much more fulfilling. We'll expect more of them, but we'll prepare them to meet the challenge, and they will.
General, given the reductions you've talked about, what actions are being taken to make sure that's the right number and the shape of the force once that reduction is taken meets what you need to do for your strategy?
Right. Well, we have a as you know, we have a volunteer force, which is a huge challenge over time. It's the force we want. 100% of our people want to be with us. But they can also leave when their tour of duty is up if they want to. So we have to be on top of taking care of our people, and we have to have some good analytics that tells us historically what our people are going to do. You know, we always say it's easy to make personnel policy, but you don't always know how your people are going to respond to it in a volunteer environment. So we have a very rich history. Career field by career field, specialty by specialty, of how a career field tends to behave over time, how it relates to market forces, et cetera. And obviously this is, I have to tell you, there's a lot of science involved, but it's frankly more art than science in my view. And but we have a lot of people who have a lot of talent in this regard to determine, you know, what the force will look like, what it takes to maintain a certain force. Some of our highly skilled technical people, for example, are the same people that are greatly valued in the outside world. So you find yourself having to perhaps recruit more of those kinds of people, because they tend to not retain as long because there are other attractive opportunities for them. So throughout your force, you have to look at all of those things to make sure that you have the right number of folks and that you retain the right number of folks for the future to have your force structure look right.
A lot of alternatives to work with, but you still have to meet mandated end strength targets each year. For our listeners, end strength refers to the limit set by Congress on the number of people the military can have on active duty. General, how did you do on end strength in FY06 as far as those targets went?
Yes, at the end of fiscal year 06, which ends, of course, the end of September, we came in about 6,000 under, and that's good because we're going down. We're coming down about 20,000 people in fiscal year 07. So being 6,000 ahead at this point is a good thing. So we would like to stay within 1-2% of our authorized end strength. Given that we're in a reduction mode, we're pretty happy with where we are at the moment.
And will normal conditions get you to the 07 number, or are you going to have to implement other force-shaping actions? In the past, things
right.
like reduction boards have been held.
Right. We'll do some of that. We have greatly relaxed the requirements for people to get out in terms of we've expanded their opportunity to leave if they want to. We've relaxed some of the requirements to serve out commitments that they've made in the past. We career field by career field, though, as I implied earlier, you know how many people you need in each year group because the Air Force, unlike a civilian business, we can't go to another company and hire somebody of a certain grade, a certain skill level, and certain rank. So all our people are all homegrown. So we have to pay attention year group by year group to how big that force is. And so you know how many people you want to leave in each year group. We'll provide some monetary incentives, some volunteer separation pay for some year groups, and for people who are already retirement eligible. In other words, those people at 20 years and out, there will be a selective early retirement board, and again, we will allow some of those people who might not be eligible to retirement by virtue of a recent promotion. We've relaxed those rules as well. So we've tried to put together a portfolio, and with the help of the Congress, we are getting the authorities we need to shape our force by a combination of methods.
It sounds like there's many levers that you can actuate to meet those goals. I'm not going to ask you which is more complicated, doing that or flying an airplane. Although I think many of our viewers, our listeners, may be interested in that answer. In addition to maintaining and shaping the active duty force, we understand that you also spend a fair amount of time focusing on some of the specialties between the regular, the Air National Guard,
right.
the reserve components, as well as the civilian
right.
components,
mm-hmm.
and the contract. contractors, and this is usually described as the total force. Could you describe some of the total force initiatives being pursued to ensure that this balance, such as blue to green and Palace
right.
Chase, mm-hmm. among others?
Yes, and I'm glad you mentioned the total force. We are extremely proud of all the components of our force. Our civilians are just absolutely top-notch, and our Guard and Reserve are absolutely second to none. They are maintained. We maintain them at exactly the same level of proficiency as the active force, and when we go forward, it's absolutely transparent as to who they are. You wouldn't be able to tell a guardsman from an active duty from a reservist. So they are very critical to that. So we look at, as you imply, we look at what size we need those components to be. A lot of our young people that leave us from active duty, we'll look for opportunities in the Guard and Reserve, and there are some opportunities for them to do that because we need to keep them robust. We are also looking at opportunities for people who are perhaps in skill sets that are overmanned to stay with us as civilians, and there's some opportunity for people to do that and to stay in government service. So you're exactly right. We do pay attention to the size of each component and where those reductions are taken.
So it's really a very large portfolio management process in terms of managing the blends of all these characters of people. Excellent. How is the Air Force personnel function specifically being transformed? We will ask Lieutenant General Roger Brady, Air Force Deputy Chief of Staff for Manpower and Personnel, to explain this to us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.